This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing the journey of predictions and prophecies and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted inside the Quran, where we look at these last final 10 surahs, whether it be Surah Al-Fil or Surah Quraysh or Surah Kawthar, and likewise today Surah Al-Masad, speaking about these predictions that existed before, these predictions that will fall true. And the previous prediction was inside Surah Al-Nasr, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted or gave the prophecy that victory of Fath al-Makkah will be given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the actual victory was granted. It was a prophecy, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ إِذَا بِمَعْنَا تَحْقِيقًا لَازِمًا حَتْمًا, that definitely we're going to give you قَدْ جَاءَ النَّصْرُ, indeed victory has been given to you, Ya Rasulullah. So this was a prophecy inside the Qur'an before it actually fell true. And likewise, this surah, Al-Masad, gives a prophecy before this person leaves this dunya. This individual, Abu Lahab, that we find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prophesizes or highlights inside the Qur'an that this individual, تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ, that this individual will be destroyed whilst he's alive. This is the only occasion inside the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yusammi a shakhs. He speaks about a specific individual whilst they're living, that this individual will be punished inside the fire. This individual will never ever believe. And this shows ijazul Qur'an. It shows the miraculous nature of the Qur'an. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, this surah, highlights how this surah dalil. This surah is a dalil, or akbarul dalail, ala nabuwati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the most greatest prophecy inside the Qur'an that shows the truthfulness of the prophethood of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. It shows it clearly that this individual is living, and the Quran, it prophesizes or highlights that this individual will never ever believe. And this miraculous nature of the Quran, of ijazul Quran, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ, as Allah mentions in Surah Al-Ma'idah, there's come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a book which is nur, which is like a clear book. It guides individuals to the right path. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, it takes you out of the realms of darknesses to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The book is a truthful book in what it prophesizes. And even as a side point, you find that the Quran doesn't have ayatul tahaddi. It doesn't have a verse of challenge. There are ayatul tahaddi. There are numerous ayat inside the Quran that challenge mankind about bringing something like the Quran, or challenging the Quran, or highlighting the mistakes of the Quran. If this book was from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have found it inside it, ikhtilafan kathira. You would have found many differences inside this book. But because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the ulama that mentioned awwal ayatu tahaddi fil Quran, the first ayah of challenging mankind, is right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. So from verse 22 to 24. Wa in kuntum fi raybi mimma nazzalna ala abdina, if you have any doubt upon that which we sent down upon our servant, fa'tu bi suratin min mithlihi, bring a surah like down onto it. Compile a surah like the surah of the Quran. Then Allah says that you bring all your witnesses, all your supporters, all your helpers besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. Then Allah says, you cannot do it and you can never ever do it. Imam Zamakhshiri Sahib al-Kashaf, inside his tafsir, he mentions, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا أَلَّن لِلْأَبَدِيَّةِ. That's what the ulama of Balagh speak about based upon his works of Imam Zamakhshari. Whenever the Quran says lan, it means for eternity. That Allah laid this challenge on that day in front of the Quraysh. Wa ba'dahum, after them. Wa hatta yawm al-qiyamah, wa ba'd al-qiyamah. There's never going to be any individual who's going to be able to compile something like the Quran. This is a clear challenge to the whole of mankind. Then straight after this, or prior to this, Allah mentions about the first concept of ibadah lillah. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. O mankind, call to the whole of humanity. What is the message of the Quran? Is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he stood, as Ibn Abbas, he narrates in Bukhari, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayah, wa andir ashiratakal aqrabin, warn your close relatives around you. Fasa'id al-jabal, the Prophet said he climbed a certain mountain. Ulama of Tariq, they write about which mountain it was. But what concerns us, he climbed the mountain, he called out to the people. He called out to his relatives, to his tribesmen, his clansmen, His family members called out to them. They came and they all began to listen. He said that if I was to warn you about a jaysh, an army to come between the crevices of this mountain or behind this mountain, are you going to believe in me? He said, of course we're going to believe in you. We don't know anything. مَا جَرَبْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكَذِبِ. We've never known that you to lie or to deceive people. Was given the laqab al-Amin was Sadiq qabla al-Nubuwa. Was given the title of being truthful and honest before he even became a prophet. Was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. He said, I want to warn you something far greater than that. I want to warn you and remind you. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهِ لَلَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا. Say La ilaha illallah, be successful individuals. When Abu Lahab heard this, he became enraged. He said, أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا تَبَّنْ يَدَاكَ. May your two hands perish, O Muhammad. Is this why you gathered us for this purpose to speak to us about your deity, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. It's not befitting for any bashar, any human being, to revile the Prophet alayhi salam, to be rude towards him. That Allah just lets it go by. Allah sends a whole complete surah. A whole surah from the beginning to the end. هذه خمسة آيات, five آيات, Makkan surah. From the beginning to the end, it's only speaking about Abu Lahab. Or speaking about his wife. That's all it speaks about. That destruction for this individual. Imam Qurtubi inside his tafsiri highlights. Likewise, Imam Ahmad says, Muslim, he speaks about that this individual, wherever the Prophet ﷺ would go and speak to the people, he would follow him inside the marketplace. If the Prophet ﷺ said, warn them about the people, remind them, he would come and say, don't listen, فَإِنَّوْ سَاحِرْ مَجْنُونَ كَاهِنْ. He's a magician, a soothsayer, a mad person, a poet. That's what he is. So one of the individuals who became a Muslim afterwards, who narrates this hadith, Muslim Imam Ahmad, He asked, who's this individual who's following this person, Muhammad? Who is this individual? Who is he? That he says one word and this person comes along and says another word. هذا عمه. It's his own uncle. His own uncle is going around being treacherous towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. He's reminding the people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's walking around defaming or blaming the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his surah Al-Masad. وَحَتَّى إِسْتِعْمَالَ Al-Lahab. As some ulama of tafsir mentioned, and Ibn Kathir in Surah Tabbat, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab bin Watab, may the two hands of Abu Lahab, may they perish. A Tabbat bima'na al-halak, a destruction, al-bawar. May these two in the khad, dallat, or khafat, may this individual be destroyed. That's why ulama al-Lughah speak about that this kalima tabba, if it's twisted around, haruf munqaliba, أصبحت بتة وبتة وتب بنفس المعنى تقريبا. This is the dynamics of the Quran. The Quran has certain words inside the Quran that even you flip them over, you find it carries the same meaning, that destruction for this individual. May this individual be destroyed. May his two hands perish. The two hands you find, Al-Kinaya, is what your hands have sent forth. Because you find that the destruction or harm is normally done by a person's actions or what their own hands have sent forth. On that day, as Allah describes, as Allah mentions in the Quran, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Fasad and corruption has appeared on the land and the oceans بما كسبت أيدي الناس, because what you've sent forth with your own hands. So all this destruction, the ozone layer, the destruction that they're having, these summits and these meetings that we find they're having, the real problem is our own selves. The corruption is from our own soul that we sent forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks even inside the Quran that the corruption, what your own hands have earned. بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاكَ. That on the day of judgment, what your own hands have sent forth, you're going to see that on the day of judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah highlights about this individual, the Abu Lahab. You know, and the strange thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this title, it falls upon this individual. As Abu Bakr Jazari inside his tafsir, he mentions that the name Abu Lahab, that he's known via this kunya, and then he's punished via this same kunya, via the flame, via the fire. And ulama speak about why was he given the name, this kunya was given to him. He had four children, and amongst one of them was called Al-Lahab, is one view of the ulama that they mentioned, when Ken had the qawl da'if. But others said that he had a redness inside his cheeks, that he was a sahih, a bayad, a beautiful individual. كان يلبس جيدا ويركب جيدا. He used to dress well, eat well, look well. He was sharaful qawm. He's amongst elite people of his tribe, of his people. He had that honor, he had that dignity. Don't think that Abu Lahab or the people of some of the Quraysh were some individual who were downtrodden individuals. They were noble clansmen, noble people who had dignity and respect around the people around them. People looked up to them. They trusted them. So this title that he was known for, his redness, his beauty inside his face, other ulama said because of his, he would get very enraged very quickly. But what concerns that this individual was amongst the uncles of the Prophet ﷺ. So kana mithlu waliduhu. As some of the ulama of Sirah mentioned, because when his father passed away, or when his grandfather passed away, and you find he's under the care of Abu Talib, who's one of his other uncles, two uncles, or there were 10 uncles in total, ulama of Sirah that they write. But four of them, whilst the Prophet ﷺ is living, two of them believed, and two of them disbelieved. Abu Talib, and we find Abu Lahab, whose name was Abu al-Uzza ibn Abdul Muttalib. Even his name, he called him, name was given Abdul Uzza. You need the servant of Al-Uzza, which was a deity amongst the Quraysh. That's the name that was given to this individual. So this kunya, this laqab that's given to him, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the title of this individual and makes that title remain with that individual. Abu Bakr Jazari, he goes a step further. He says that this individual, that you find that he's cursing and reviling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the death of this individual. That some 7 days after the Battle of Badr, that his body is lying there. And then they place him inside a ditch, and there's a foul smell coming from his, a contagious disease, or some form of, like what we find today, a calamity that we're surrounded by, that we find inside this world at the moment. A contagious disease, nobody wanted to touch him, a foul smell came from him. So they threw him inside the ditch. And then they did what? They burnt him, they burnt his body. كَمَا تَدِينُ تَدَانْ سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ لَأَرْضِ. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way that the person behaved inside their life, the way they conducted themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his ayat inside this dunya of how certain people, that they will be unfortunately be punished to give this symbol inside this dunya. وَمَا كَادَ فِرْعَوْنَ the symbol of Fir'aun, غَيْرَ تَتْبِيب. That Allah speaks about Fir'aun, goes back to the word of tabbat. That the people of Fir'aun, or the message of Fir'aun, that will be people who are going to be destroyed. They're going to be destroyed. And Allah done the same thing with Fir'aun. Allah gave him as a symbol to people. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدِنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةٌ. We're going to preserve your body on this day, to be an ayah for whoever comes after you. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. But most people are heedless about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign that, you know, when some Muslims, they say, show me a sign, show me a miraculous nature inside my life, show me something so I can believe. Why do you need to be shown something to believe? The everlasting miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Quran. The everlasting miracle. And inside the Quran, as we mentioned, numerous ayat of ijaz, numerous ayat inside the Quran of a miraculous nature. And this surah in specific, the miraculous nature of this surah proves the miraculous nature of the Quran and belief in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this surah is an early Meccan surah, sent approximately in the fourth year of revelation. So look how much time Abu Lahab had. All he had to do was just to be a munafiq, just to pretend, just to say to the people, look, I believe in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's all he had to say. And his wife had to say that. And that would show that the prophecy or the message of the Prophet ﷺ is false. That's all he had to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this individual is such an arrogant individual, that this individual, no matter what happens, وَإِن يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. If they're shown every single sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never ever believe. So Allah sealed, as they say, the coffin of this individual, that this individual is never ever going to believe, even though he continuously differ with the Prophet ﷺ. And then we find that his wife as well had this, also she had this hatred towards the Prophet ﷺ. She used to be one who's carrying the woods or the twigs. Some ulama give the description that she was carrying the woods and the twigs and throwing them in the path of the Prophet ﷺ. Some books of Sirah mention. Others say that she was going around causing fitna. She was saying bad words about him. As Imam Shawkan said in Tafsir, who mentions, she's spreading rumors, tales, and namima, gossip about the Prophet ﷺ. And once again, that when she approached once The Prophet and he's sitting with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and she comes and she's got an axe inside her hand. And she said, "Wayna sahibukum? Where's your companion who speaks about me? Who said this prophecy about me?" And then she said some lines of poetry. She's well versed in some poetry. She began to say some lines of poetry. And then she walks away. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he turns to the Prophet and he says that, "Did she not see you? Did she not see you?" He said, "No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blinded her eyes, blinded her sight, that she's not able to see me." And some ulama like Imam Qurtubi in Sahih Tafsir, he mentioned this is once again a miracle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he placed a hijab, a barrier between him and his enemies. And some even going into a more mystical dimension of these verses inside the Quran. They say that when a person reads such verses inside the Quran, that we made a barrier between you and them. When a person is being attacked or the enemy is upon them, person should recite this surah. And it become a form of a barrier and a protection between themselves and these enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi jidiha hablum min masad, and around her neck, Imam Shawkani mentions a qilada, it was a necklace that he speaks about. And she said, this necklace was a valuable necklace, meaning that she's going to spend all of her wealth, all of her property, all of her time and her efforts to go and to defame the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa raddul fi'l. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then does with her, with a necklace around her neck. Allah then says that on the day of judgment, fi jidiha hablum min masad, that around her neck will be lafif, will be palm fiber, will be a rope. Not a necklace that she wears in this world, will be a necklace of Jahannam, of the fire, will be throttling her throat. Because of what she used to say and her behavior towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Shaykh Uthaymeen Sa'id Tafsir, he mentions that this was a noble woman. You know, why did a noble woman want to go around creating or behaving in such a manner? And even Sa'id al-Quran mentioned that these people spend their wealth and their property to go and derail people, to harm the believing individuals. You know, in some of the ulama, they mentioned that the women of the Quraysh, you know, if we can use such words linguistically, that they weren't loose women. Because when you find when Abu Sufyan's wife, Hind, when she speaks about her etiquettes and her behavior, she said, "Do you think that we were women who would just walk around in such a manner that look at the, may Allah forbid, how women walk around today or conduct themselves? We are women," she's in Jahiliya. She said that we were women of honor, of dignity, of respect, that you expect us to be walking about with such type of individuals and personalities. You know, these are lessons for us. These are lessons for our women folk. You know, if you study the Quran, tafsir the Quran, you find it's very accurate in the way it describes itself. When it says inside the Quran, speaking about the wives of the Prophet, speaking about our mothers, speaking about our family members, and it speaks about وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى inside Surah Al-Ahzab. Imam Qurtubi inside his tafsir begins to highlight, remain inside your homes and don't come out in the way of jahiliyyah. Then he describes what is the way of jahiliyyah. رَكِّزُوا لَهَذَا. Look at this tafsir that was written centuries ago. Pay attention to it. He says that this was hijab of jahiliyyah, whereby you find that the earlobes of the women were shown. Their necklaces, the neck was shown. The upper body was shown. And they wore this scarf on their head. And their jewels and their ornaments are shown. This is hijab of jahiliyyah. This is the hijab of jahiliyyah. Compare that to today in our modern society. It's exactly the same image. It's a blasphemy of hijab. So they knew what hijab was. They knew what the etiquettes were. They knew how to adorn themselves. And these are all lessons from the Quran that we should see, that we should take the miraculous nature of the Quran. That the teachings inside the Quran, they stand as a testimony. That's, we are not speaking about non-Muslims, we're speaking about Muslims. Muslims have the audacity to say such words. Oh, that was at that time. We live in the 21st century. So women shouldn't, if I can use such words, garb themselves, shouldn't adorn themselves in such dress. And a Muslim man shouldn't adorn himself in certain dress. Yes, the dress sense is wide. We're not denying that fact. But there's certain etiquettes and symbols. If you don't want to adorn yourself with them, don't speak against them. Don't blaspheme against them. Don't mock them. Don't belittle them. Because you're mocking and you're belittling whom? You're belittling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You're defaming his family members. Rather, beyond that, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِي وَرَسُولِي كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Are you making a mockery of Allah and his messenger and his ayat? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Don't make no excuse. Read the tafsir, these ayat inside Surah At-Tawbah. Read the tafsir. How people were making a mockery, joking about the Prophet ﷺ, joking about the companions. So the least that we should do, we should uphold these teachings, these symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind ourselves that if we cannot fulfill certain teachings, that these are teachings of the Quran that should strengthen our iman and bring us towards the miraculous nature of the Quran, the warnings of the Quran. It begins to highlight how we need to conduct ourselves. Also, we find inside this surah that we find ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns that this individual, that his wealth and his children, وما كسب, I mean, في حديث Tirmidhi, ومن الأولاد من كسبه, that his one's children are from your kasb, from your earnings. So your earnings are not just your physical wealth, your children are your earnings as well, they're your property as well. And you know, this individual, Abu Lahab, as you mentioned, had four sons, which is weak, but three sons that he had, Mut'ab and Utba and Utayba. Three sons that he had. One of them, Mut'ab or Mut'ib, he never believed. And two of them after Utba and Utayba, they believed. And one of them was married, to one of the daughters of the Prophet, and one was married to another daughter, Ruqayya and Kulthum. Look at the animosity. Abu Lahab, he walks into his house, and he says to them, I don't want your faces to face my face. Divorce his daughters. So look at Abu Lahab. He's minbab. He's the uncle of the Prophet. And also at the same time, he's become like an in-law, a father-in-law to his daughters. And that animosity still, he says to separate you sons. If you are part of my family and my lineage and my sons, then separate from his daughters. But look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to the honor of these two daughters. Read the seerah. These two daughters go and marry whom? They go and marry Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And what does the Prophet ﷺ say when both of these daughters, he passed away? If I had another daughter, I would get her also married to Uthman ibn Affan. So this is the blessings of the Prophet ﷺ, that hatred is shown towards him. And the strangest thing, you read it to see this surah, is that people began to make comments about Abu Lahab's family, that some people began to say about his daughter, and she became Muslim, that they began to blame her, that maybe because what your father done, you deserve the blame. Imam Suyuti yankul hadha fi tafsiri ad-durrul manthur. And he says, he highlights inside there that the Prophet ﷺ says about her, leave her alone. There's no blame on her for what her father did. You know, this is how the Prophet ﷺ, he behaved towards people. Not like us, that we find there's a family animosity or there's a family feud. That if I don't speak to someone, then my children shouldn't speak to that person. The whole family should cut off from that person. Whether I'm right or wrong is irrelevant. That, look at the Prophet, he had every right to cut ties with his people. They harmed him, they cursed him, they defamed him, they harmed his children, they harmed his wife Khadija. They left in a barren land that we find a noble woman used to a good life was placed inside that valley. And when she comes out of that valley, the hardship, it takes away her life. And that's what's known as Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief, of sorrow, that overcame the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam inside his life. But look once again how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends down what? He doesn't send down, as some ulama say, just one ayat or two ayat. Once again, I'jaz al-Quran, the whole of Surah Yusuf, some 111 verses. Read this surah. That's why I always say that when a person thinks that they're feeling sad, they're upset, that they're worried, and they think they're going through trials and tribulations, read Surah Yusuf and see what trials and tribulations are. See what hardships are. See what difficulties are. See Ya'qub alayhi salam. Wabyat aynahu, his eyes became white. Kinaya, that he became kafif, he became blind. He wept so much. So much he wept for Yusuf. He said, Fasabrun jameel. Wallahu musta'anu ala ma tasifun. What a beautiful patience. Not just any patient, what these people, what they're attributing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what these people are doing, what they've done to my son Yusuf, what they're doing to me. And look at the end, how Allah mentions, إِنَّوْ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ عَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whoever is patient, whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will provide a way out for that individual. As we mentioned in the beginning, that I'jaz al-Qur'an, the miraculous nature of the Qur'an, hafa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the miraculous nature of the Quran to all of us as ayat, as signs for us to begin to believe in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's as we mentioned, that our relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reciting the Quran, pondering over the Quran, and seeing the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes inside this surah that was going to be the ending of Abu Lahab and likewise his wife, the ending of both of these individuals, how they're going to be punished inside this dunya and more so inside al-akhirah. As Imam Shanqit inside his tafsir, he begins to conclude this is similar verses inside the Quran, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words or promise fall truth and in state of justice, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned inside the Quran is a fact, is an element of truth that no one can challenge at. And that's as we began with, that anyone who feels that there's any doubt about the Quran, then let them try to bring something like the Quran or show discrepancies about the Quran. Rather, the Quran, it begins by mentioning beginning, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Allah begins the Quran by highlighting, this is a book that contains no doubt, no speculation, no conjecture. Try to challenge the Quran. That's how the Quran begins, by challenging the whole of mankind. And likewise, Allah mentioned, كَذَلِكَ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And likewise, the promise of Allah, the word of Allah, that those individuals, فَسَقُوا, those who are rebellious and wicked individuals, أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, that these individuals are not going to believe. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to highlight inside the Quran that such and such individual is a believing individual, such an individual is not a believing individual. It's not for us to take the Quran and to label people, وَحَتَّى ulama mentioned even non-Muslims, that whilst they're living, it's not befitting for a Muslim to say that this individual will not be guided. Because we know the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. This comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a book which is full of nur and light. That there's numerous people that you think that guidance will never come to these individuals, but guidance came to them. The impact of the Quran. Read about Umar ibn Khattab. Read the seed of this individual who showed the most hatred. There's certain individuals like Abu Lahab and Khalid ibn Walid and Umar ibn Khattab that we find, they show this immense hatred towards the Prophet. But look at the seed of two of these individuals, how the tide turned, how belief entered into their life. So you find this at Dala'il Nubuwwah of Imam al-Bayhaqi speaks about Umar ibn Khattab, about the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that how he enters and became. What were those ayat? Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. From the beginning of Surah Taha, the 20th chapter, all the way to verse number 14. These are the ayat of the Quran that impacted his chest. A person who's going to kill and attack the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who now the impact of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَاهِدٌ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Allah says in Surah Al-Furqan, fight, strive against them. Fight and strive against them with what? The ultimate weapon is the Quran. That's what we should be doing. We should be striving, making our efforts with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling people. Rather than we calling people to our own fractions, our own devices, call them to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Call them to that. And the greatest message of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we began with, is a message of the oneness. قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. Say لا إله إلا الله, be successful individuals. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل الصالحة وقال إنني من المسلمين. Who's the best individual who calls to Allah? That's what is our life, our duty should be, calling to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to begin to understand, and these ayat begin to penetrate inside our lives and our actions and our hearts, that the penetration of the Quran becomes a nur, becomes a light for us inside this dunya, a light for us inside the grave, and a light for us inside al-akhirah. That's what this Quran that we want it to be, a nur for us. Al-Quran hujjatun lak aw hujjatun alayk. Quran is either an evidence for you or evidence against you.